Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Into our podcast, I have a special guest here today. I have John, who is the owner of Level 7 here in Colorado. They're a regional, I guess, statewide, video game and culture store?
Yeah, exactly. So we kind of started as a video game store specifically, like new and used retro games, but then now we've kind of expanded into tabletop, cards, doing like merch, so a lot of like plushies and stickers and stuff like that. So kind of we do manga now. I said that weird.
Oh, cool.
Manga. So yeah, we carry a lot of like anime influenced and inspired stuff as well. So just kind of everything we have fun with, we just kind of try to fit it into the store somehow.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on tonight. Yeah. I know it's been a long time coming. I've wanted you on there. We've known each other for a while, actually before all the esports stuff.
True.
You've helped me a lot through tournaments that we've hosted in the past, so I also want to thank you for all the support you've given us too in the past.
Oh dude, it's awesome. I love to see people doing stuff. It's just
good. Yeah,
like, you know what I mean, like I was just excited to see people playing Madden live again, like post COVID. Yeah. I was like, let's go. So
yeah, it was awesome. So thank you again. I know you were one of the big supporters for us and everyone loved it. We do have little dumb slot coming in, so we'll have some people coming in. If there's anyone that has any questions, go ahead and, you know, you can shoot them, type away, and we can get to them. But I guess we can start with John. Tell everyone that's listening a little bit about yourself, kind of you know, how you got into where you're at or where your passions, kind of everything, where everything started, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. You know, born and raised in Denver, grew up in like Westwood, Bellevue neighborhood. Ended up graduating from Lincoln, and so that's where we started. I worked retail my whole life, and when Hollywood Video, which was my last job, went under, which I loved, we ended up, me and my crew, putting our collections together and starting up our own game store, just because, like, I don't know, the whole vibe, you know what I mean, trying to let that go was really difficult for us. So we're like, let's do whatever we can to make it happen again, and so we were able to bring it together. And you know, over the years, those guys have dropped off, but you know, I'm still here, you know, doing it. So,
wow. So you started at Hollywood Video, which is a Blockbuster for our younger viewers, which is basically a Blockbuster. And so you worked there and you had some friends, and then from there they went out, just because of technology and everything that's come out. And so you guys were big gamers and people into like video and stuff. And that's kind of how you guys started.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, growing up in the 90s and stuff, it was like my first console was NES, and then it had everything like through there all the way from, you know, I never had a Super Nintendo until I was an adult, which is kind of weird, but basically everything else, you know, Genesis, PS1, 64. So, yeah. And then I worked at Best Buy for a little while as well. So I did the media department there. So, you know, that was when the 360 era was really big. So I remember when the PS3 and the Wii launched, I was there for that. And so I was big into the 360 at that time, playing Gears. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I went and sold cell phones for a little bit and ended up at Hollywood, which was pretty sweet. I didn't actually work at Hollywood. I worked at Game Crazy, which was the video game portion of Hollywood. Did you ever check out Game Crazy?
I don't think I've heard of that, actually.
Okay. So yeah, they had their own like video game store within the Hollywood Video. So it was like a separate company. And I worked for that. I managed one of those stores inside of a Hollywood off like Sheridan and Florida. So anybody who remembers that neighborhood, like, will definitely remember that store. It was it was the biggest one in the state for Hollywood. So that one was awesome. And then, yeah, just being part of that store, just that something about it just hit right. Small, specific, niche stuff, loving video games growing up. And then just feeling like it's something that I could do. Me and my friends enjoy doing together, could do it long term. We decided to just go for it. So
that closed down, and then you decided to start your own store. How long ago did you start? Was it Level 7 Games from the start?
So I'll answer the first question. So we opened our first store in 2009 off Alameda and Zuni, which is the little one there, like pretty close to Alameda and Federal, between Federal and I-25. Mm-hmm. And so we opened that one 14 years ago. We're going on 15 years. So this is going to be our 15th anniversary in June of 2024. So we'll be doing something pretty sweet for that, like have some big thing party or something. Mm-hmm. It'll be red. cool. And so, yeah, we're going on 15 years, which is nuts already that it's just been that amount of time. But and then what was the other part of the question? Sorry.
So you started that store, and from the beginning, did you just take inspiration from the Hollywood video, and did you already have like video games? Like, I guess kind of maybe explain how you even got that started. You know, you find the location and you have to get the inventory.
Yeah. So, I guess, I mean, starting with inspiration, you know, growing up, there wasn't always a big video game chain. There was always like Target and Walmart and stuff, but where you would primarily go, especially for used games, were there was no GameStop. So it was like GameForce, Buyback Games. And there was a few other offshoots, but those were the two big ones when I was a kid. GameForce and Buyback. They had the most locations. They were all over the place. And honestly, there was just, you know, something that set in my mind, you know, and I think a lot of people get that, where there's just something about the game store. When you go there, just if they're playing the right music and they got the stuff, you're there with your buddies and you're just trying to find something to play, or you need a controller and you're just kind of hanging out. It's like there's something about like that shopping experience that feels like it's like kind of catered to a certain, you know, people just, I don't know. I think certain people really appreciate it. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. If the vibes are good, it makes you want to go and like spend time in the store and like enjoy like the ambiance and looking at stuff, you know, which definitely your store, I would say, has. If anyone hasn't checked out Level 7, you guys need to go. They have a great selection of, I go there all the time actually, but they got a great selection of video games, figurines, cards, trading cards, all Pokemon, Magic, everything. But I really like what you guys have done with the stores.
Right on. I appreciate that. Yeah. I was trying to like change it up and do something different with it too. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like you can go get video games anywhere. Like I said, you can always go to Target, but it's like if people want to go out of their way to go to us, we want to make it worth their while, give them something different, you know?
Yeah. And you guys get really unique stuff. Like I go to a lot of, you know, like GameStops and stuff, but you guys get really cool figurines, really cool, like different merchandise that you don't see at almost any store. So it's really nice that you guys have a good collection, almost like a niche collection of different interests.
Right. And I think that's the other big part is that's always my goal, is to like, one, have stuff that you can't, or it's hard to find somewhere else locally. Mm-hmm. And then also have more than you can look at the first time around. You know what I mean? Like more that, so you're like, oh, I got to go back. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's always like kind of my goal, is to like have enough cool stuff that you're like, I got to go see it one more time.
Yeah. So you get the one store, right? And then I know you guys have three locations now, right?
True. So we did hop around a little bit. The next year we opened a second location that was on Sheridan and Jewel. Mm-hmm. We ended up moving that to Federal and Evans. And like 3 years after that. So we hopped around. After some time, we ended up opening what is our store that's currently on Kipling and Florida. We had a smaller location that was on Kipling and Jewel for a little bit, and then we moved it to Kipling and Florida, and we expanded into tabletop stuff, doing like board games and cards. We did get out of board games, but we mainly focus on like cards now. So Pokemon, Magic, Yu-Gi-Oh!, Final Fantasy, One Piece, Digimon, like all of those card games we support. And so we added tables to the store and a play space. We started doing more events, which kind of changed the dynamic of like the type of business that we were as well. When we got into that space. So that grew the business in an interesting way. So at that point we had the store on Kipling and Florida, and the first one on Alameda and Zuni. And then we had one that was right next to Lincoln High School that was in the Brentwood Shopping Center, right off Federal and Evans. Mm-hmm. So during COVID, they wanted to double the rent. So we ended up looking for a space, and that's when we found that new spot that we're in now, that bank, the big one. Yeah. So we moved into that and then got the big play space, the big ball, you know what I mean? Like, so it's that's been an interesting, like, It's definitely been like a path and a learning experience. Mm-hmm. And like, no matter how many times they can say like location, you know what I mean? You still got to move really, and kind of figure that out. No matter how hard you try the first time, it's like, we've jumped around a lot.
So when you started then, were you, you said you did a lot of like trading card, I guess, play areas. Did you, was it mainly that, or did you like kind of, I know you guys expanded your offerings, but when you started, was there like a core, like just video games or just card games?
So we started as exclusively, well, video games, and then we did do DVDs as well at the time, and Blu-rays. But yeah, it was like 99% video games and retro video game stuff. And it wasn't for a really long time until we started like kind of branching into doing like merch, wallets, and kind of hats and stuff like that.
But you guys make your own merch too, right? You're wearing a Level 7 shirt, I think, aren't you?
Yeah.
That one's cool. Yeah. So shout out. You guys have some really cool merch. Do you make them and design them?
Yeah. So, you know, between a bunch, all there's like 25 of us that work at the store now. A bunch of us are like artists and stuff. So, John drew this one. And so cool. We added some lettering and did it. So he did this one originally with Doom Eternal drop, but now it's the 30th anniversary. So we did a reprint. So we got a whole print of these sweatshirts coming. So
that's cool. Yeah, I love your guys' merch. I always go on and I check in. You guys are always getting new stuff in, I feel like, all the time.
oh, definitely. Yeah. So I used to do the printing myself. We actually had a screen printing like facility inside of one of our locations, which is just like another another side story, side mission.
Sure.
We ended up moving that recently, and I just use my boy Eddie now. He just does all my printing for me. So he gets it done, and it's just one less thing that I got to worry about getting done myself. So
yeah. So are you there then? Like, are you at all the stores? Like, do you work there all day, or do you kind of just check in every now and then?
Recently, I have changed my role a bit, where I'm at home a little bit more, doing more of the like actual like, operational, administrative kind of stuff, the homework, which it's kind of behind the scenes because that's what I never wanted to do.
Yeah,
but it's whatever. It needs to get done. But yeah, I do attempt to get to the stores as often as possible. I try to stop into each one at least once a week at some point. But generally, it's like we have a weekly plan, me and my managers, of what we're getting done that week. And we kind of schedule ourselves out and say, okay, so like today, for example, we designed, so you're talking about some of our designs, we designed this new 6-foot by 4-foot sign that we built this box for that's going to be lit. And it's like a vinyl banner to like kind of display the vault room, because you know, before it was kind of like people aren't sure, like, am I allowed to go in here? So we really wanted to like display and make it like, yes, come inside, here's a big ass sign, it's colorful, it's kind of like, it's got like a bunch of references to video games and a big treasure chest, you know what I mean? Like, it's very Casa Bonita feeling, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's that's the real inspiration right there. I actually worked at Casa Bonita for a little bit. So
you did? That's awesome.
I was a server there.
Love the ambiance there, and that's like a Colorado staple. I mean, I'm sure everyone knows from South Park, but it's awesome. Have you been to the remodel?
I have.
Been renovated? I haven't.
Yeah, I want to go check it out. My grandpa wasn't super happy, but he's not super happy with anything. So
So you get the you get the store, it's growing, and you guys are also involved in a lot of different events, right? Like within the Colorado gaming culture kind of area.
Yeah, I mean, we try to be as involved as possible, right? So it's like, you know, when something like yourself, when you present something cool, like hey, I'm working with local hosts to do these tournaments and it's legit. And like, mm-hmm. that's the kind of stuff that, like, when that comes up, we're going to support. So we work with Akihabara Arcade up north. Mm-hmm. I think they're in Westminster or Arvada. Yeah. I can't tell which, but they're awesome to work with. Brandon over there is super cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if you've talked to him, but that would be worth.
No, I've been wanting to check it out. They have some great FGC tournaments, though. They do a lot of Dragon Ball, Street Fighter. That's an awesome arcade. I have yet to be in the, go there. I've been wanting to check it out, though. It's just a little far for me. True. I live down south, so it's like an hour drive, but I'd love to go there sometime.
Dude, when you go up, let me know. We check it out pretty often, so they're cool. but yeah, so we work with them. We work with people like yourself, and then also the tournaments that we run. So we have mm-hmm. Weekly tournaments. So every game, like I named earlier, like Digimon, Pokemon, all the Mons, Magic. So they have weekly tournaments and weekly like gameplay formats that we run mm-hmm. every night of the week, except for Mondays at some of the stores. And then also we'll do like special events, big tournaments, like regional qualifiers and stuff like that, case tournaments. We do swap meets mm-hmm. and then like video game tournaments. We just recently started doing, we signed up, we're going to start doing Pokemon Go. You can actually do like tournaments for that now, like officially. So we're going to start doing that, and we're doing Pokemon League, like video game. So that's cool. So that's happening on Sundays as well. So there's just a ton of stuff. Check out our website. I mean, level7games.com has all of that information. So if anybody is interested in like getting involved or wants to learn how to play a game, a card game or a video game, or just want some info, that would be the best place to start for that stuff. Cause there's multiple locations and a lot going on.
Okay. So yeah, everyone could find information about Level 7 on socials. I'm assuming it's all at Level 7 Games.
Yep, exactly. Okay. At Level 7
and then,
Games.
Yeah, and I feel like they can always reach out to you if they ever wanted to get any more information on communities or kind of what's going on in the area, because I would say you're a really good resource for everyone to kind of like that they can actually walk into and talk to someone about what's going on in the community.
Yeah, I try to be normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody else is like, real standoffish. It's like no. I'm John.
Like we're all in the same boat. We're all just trying to, Colorado here isn't, I don't know, maybe you have a different perspective, but I feel like it's getting there, but it doesn't have the biggest community in gaming as far as, maybe, I don't know, esports, gaming. It's getting there though.
It's so hard for me to judge that because I've been here my whole life and I really have nothing. I'm not super involved in that community. So it's hard for me to say. I mean, I know that there are definitely like markets, LA, I'm sure New York, these huge populations that are going to have like these crazy amount of people playing it. But I mean, from what it seems, at least a lot of the games fire, like when people really put the effort into like marketing something and putting the work into getting the word out and doing it right, like it seems like they fire and then they grow as long as it's maintained to the same with the same amount of passion that it started with. You know what I mean? Even you guys, like you saw, like you started, I remember you were getting a couple people and then you're like, oh shit, we need more PlayStations, we need more Xboxes. Like it was awesome to watch it grow and I got to go participate in that one. So I got my win round one, baby.
and I told you earlier, but Level 7, they're awesome. Anyone can reach out to them because these guys are awesome enough to practically sponsor our tournaments. You guys helped us with a lot of the hardware, a lot of the games and stuff, and so if anyone wants to reach out to you guys, like they're awesome. I'll vouch for them. But do you guys have any? I know I met you at I saw you at one of the Nerds Worldwide events. Do you guys have anything kind of coming up in the future, like any events that you guys are planning for or anything?
Honestly, there's not. We just did VinCon in October. Yeah, that was October, which was like the last big one. And then we did Fan Expo earlier, and then.
That's right. You guys were at Fan Expo. I saw you.
Yeah, that was awesome. We're gonna have a vendor booth this next year, so we'll see.
Oh, nice. You guys had a really cool setup, though. What'd you guys do there again?
So we actually work with this is another like community thing. So we work with my boy Matt Slater over at Pop Culture Classroom, which if you haven't heard of them, what they are is they're like a nonprofit organization that essentially their goal is to work with public schools to get teaching methods within pop culture, right? So using comic books to teach kids how to read instead of like forcing them to read novels that they're not interested in, which, you know, is great, obviously, but it's like some kids just, you got to take a different path. And so they're trying to take approaches like that using apps and, you know, different forms of media and digital stuff to present ways of learning rather than just, you know, kind of textbook traditional stuff. So, and they're awesome. So yeah, we got to do a mini retro pop-up museum for the basically it was the it's called the Kids Lab, which is what they control that portion of the Fan Expo floor, and it's all just for the adolescent and younger kids of the expo to come and like actually like, you know, get some of that kind of like pop culture educational stuff. So what we provided and what they asked us to do was to set up a small museum that would represent like a timeline of all the video game consoles, the hardware, the popular games on the consoles, why it's significant, stuff like that. So we had set that up with some live games and stuff like that too. So
yeah, it was awesome. I stopped by and basically for everyone listening, Fan Expo was Comic-Con. And so it was a huge event and these guys were there. They had a huge section where, yeah, a lot of old school games. You were teaching kids how to play and kind of giving them a little bit of education, which I thought was really cool.
it was sweet, dude. That's always so much fun. So,
So I guess running retail stores out here in Colorado, what do you find are some of the bigger challenges you run into? Whether it's, you know, I'm sure there's a ton, right, being in retail. Whether that's being in, you know, involved or relevant or always watching trends or games, you know, like what do you find are some of the bigger challenges?
Specifically, this industry is just kind of a pain in the butt, to say the least. It's like distribution timelines, getting stuff pre-street day, like earning the trust of distributors, their shipping, they keep losing deals with things. So I would say honestly, like securing good product on time at a reasonable cost is probably the most difficult thing I have to deal with. In the middle of the country is hard too, because there's no distribution out here. All just like those big, you know, markets for video games, everything's in New York or Florida or LA or San Diego. So I got to get everything shipped in where everybody else in the big markets can just go get it. And it takes us 2 or 3 days to get it. So logistically, that just creates more issues, especially because we have the freaking Rocky Mountains and unpredictable weather. So, you know, there's always stuff that happens like that, especially during winter where a game just doesn't show up on time. So, but this year we've been pretty lucky with the big ones.
That's good. So then on the flip side, then what is, I guess, where do you, because correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you have, other than, you know, maybe GameStop, right, which I think you're on a higher level than them. you guys are the bigger of the game stores, right, in Colorado?
Yeah, I think so. So
as far as locations go?
Yeah, as far as locations go, it's like us and then Games Ahoy has 3 locations up north. They're in Loveland and then Fort Collins. But yeah, they have 3. We have 3. And then, yeah, GameStop. As far as I know. Yeah, but, you know, shout out Game Force in Aurora. Those guys are awesome. Mm-hmm. And then, all the other cool game stores.
So what do you find, like, where did you see most success then, where you were able to kind of find, you know, success to grow? You know, what do you feel like was the biggest or different things that you kind of found that led you to success?
It's hard to say. I think it's just being relatable. I think it's just environment. It's exactly what I always thought it was. You know what I mean? That like, if people can find out about us and they're interested and they can make the trip, I think most people will find out that they like being there more than most other places. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that is being normal and just having like a simple environment that we feel comfortable in and other people just naturally feel comfortable in. It's like, we're not trying. Like, it seems like we're trying, right? Because we put up posters and we do social media and all this stuff. But this is just stuff we want to do. We want to make little skits. We want to make art. We want to make t-shirts. And it becomes marketing. It becomes branding. But this is stuff we just want to do anyhow. We want to go skateboard and do silly stuff and, you know, make CKY videos and stuff. But it's like, it just turns into something for the store. And so I think the fact that it's naturally happening with a group of people who want to do these things together and not just like, this has to be done to build the brand and charts.
Yeah, like
and
a GameStop or something where you feel the pressure of them being in it for the business, you know?
Exactly. And it's like you can feel that from the employee because that's what they're being coached. They're being coached pressure. Mm-hmm. They're not being coached environment. And so, you know, for me, it's like the first thing I'm doing when I get to work is saying what's up to all the crew. You know what I mean? And like being stoked to like be there with my friends, not like, here we go. You know what I mean? So I love what I do. And I think a lot of the people that work there do. And I think the customers can tell.
I think so too. When you walk in, the environment is, you can tell everything's put together and that everyone has passion there and everyone's there because they enjoy it.
Definitely. And it's like, I mean, hey man, we all have crazy days, so you might get mm-hmm. but I think for the most part, everybody's chill. So.
Yeah, so you guys are making some really cool content too. I've been really enjoying like all the stuff you guys have been pushing out. You guys also have a podcast show too, right?
So yes, although we haven't been as regular with it because we were doing it every single week. It is tough. It is tough.
Yeah.
But in addition to it being tough, we just have recently decided we want to do more like skits and kind of like production style stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but also inserting the podcast when we have something that we feel is significant enough to talk about. Mm-hmm. So like with the Game Awards that had just happened, we're probably going to do a podcast this week, which will release on Thursday or Friday about those.
Oh, okay, cool.
Take a drink real quick. Sorry.
Yeah. That's why I got my water with me at all times.
Yeah.
But yeah, you guys should definitely check it out because they get mixed. You guys have really cool, like, I love your content. It's really enjoyable and it's entertaining. And I've been seeing a lot more lately, I think, because you guys have been maybe making more. But it's, it's been really good.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what it is it's like the podcast cool, but it's kind of hard. It's hard to tell when it's like a podcast and then a thumbnail for another podcast. Like,
yeah,
you're just like, so it's like, we're just trying to throw them in, just slip a podcast in there. Like,
every now
like,
and then, yeah.
Something fun, our opinions, something fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think for a lot of people in Colorado, it's good because I don't think there's anyone else doing that has, I guess, the experience that you have in your position, you know, doing, because I think you have a really good vault of knowledge that you can, you know, tell people or share. And I think that's great.
Sure. Yeah. No. I appreciate that. I think that over, like I said, 15 years of just doing this and in addition to all the other crap before that and all the other, I definitely like know more about like video games and stuff than I probably should.
Yeah. I feel like the industry is tough, but also be tough because it's always moving. It's always progressing. There's always different things coming out. There's always new hype. It's a very fast paced industry. And so I think that's really challenging it, and that's something that probably you've been able to kind of handle or at least take care of.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's you can imagine, like, it's just, you have a year where PS5 comes out and you can't get PS5s, right? Mm-hmm. So it's impossible to get a PS5. There's no games. Like, there's one, two games, three games every month or so, and so there's like nothing to sell. And so there's definitely like ebbs and flows to the business. It's really interesting to kind of like try to like predict things and control the fireball, you know?
Yeah. So how was that, in your opinion, since you're a retailer on your end, how was the release of the PS5? I mean, could you just not, you couldn't get any, right? To sell?
None. Like, I mean, we would get five every 6 months or something.
And you're getting them straight from Sony, right? Like, or I mean, pretty much like distributed from, no?
So Sony doesn't work directly with like local game stores, right? So they'll Sony will go direct, and I don't even know how direct they go, but we're like, you know, the GameStops, Best Buys, Walmart. So they'll go direct to them. And then there will be some distribution, but then those distribution chains usually get locked into stuff like Barnes and Nobles and kind of like the second tier big stores. That get weird stuff like that, Sam's Clubs, and you know what I mean? Like, it's all kind of the same, but there's like different areas. So like even the bigger distributors, the big box. So, you know what I mean? Like, for a while, it's hard for us to get distribution because one of our bigger distribution chains, lost direct with Sony. So, okay.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find somebody else.
So has it gotten better now that we're, what, 3 years later? Like, because I know they have the Slim coming out. Is the distribution gotten any better?
Not really. And honestly, it doesn't matter because we don't make money on consoles. So, like, if I buy a PS5, I buy it for $4.98 and then I pay shipping on it. It's generally cheaper for me to actually go to a store and buy it. And then sell it to somebody than to order it through distribution chains. Cause it's just that way. It's such a weird thing, but then you got to have them to attach the accessories and all the other stuff. We've learned to kind of live without, right. In a lot of instances, just, you know, especially going through COVID, we learned how to kind of be like, all right, well, I guess we don't really need to carry every single little item because when there was no chance of getting certain things, certain batteries or whatever, you're like, okay, I guess it's not the end of the world if we don't have this thing. And with stuff like consoles where we're forking out $500 to make $500, it doesn't even really make sense. Like, we're making zero money and it's like it just becomes like a free service at that point. Yeah. So it's difficult to justify, and so it's an interesting one right now.
Okay. So then with the stuff you do carry, I know you guys carry, I've seen your stock and it's really cool. What do you think is some of like the cooler stuff that you carry that the other stores, like, you know, Targets, Walmarts, GameStop stuff, what that they don't carry?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we get a lot of the import stuff. So like on the new newer consoles, PS5s, Xbox, not so Xbox so much, but PS5 and Switch mostly, there are a lot of Switches region free. And so there's a ton of games that come out in Europe and in Japan and other regions that are never released in America or only released in America as a digital download. So we bring most of those in, especially like the more notable ones. So they'll do like Chrono Cross was a big one that they remastered Chrono Cross, but that was only digital in America, but we were able to get the international version. And what's cool about the Switch is that it actually will automatically revert to the language setting you have it at. So it has all of the language packages in every game, and it will just do the one that you're set at.
Oh, okay.
So
that's cool.
Those are cool. I mean, that, and then just, I mean, all the crazy rare video game stuff that we get, you know what I mean? Like all the boxed NES, Super Nintendo, 64. Like today I bought a Conker's Bad Fur Day off some dude, which is like $100 now. That's not crazy, like mind blowing, but you know.
But it's $100.
Classic, bro. Yeah. Classic for a 64 game. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming you've seen some cool stuff come through then, right? Like, what are some of the memorable ones?
Well, just recently I sold a complete in-box Earthbound, if you know what that is. I don't know. So it was the big box with the scratch and sniff cards. It had the strategy guide with and it still actually had the clearance sticker on it, which was pretty cool because they clearance that one out, and then it ended up being like the most expensive game on the Super Nintendo. There's a lot of rare cards that we see. So like, I don't know if you're into Pokemon at all, but like, you know, we see like a ton of the like Gold Star, Crystal Star, like e-reader cards all the time. But more on the video game end stuff, it's like that, like the box stuff is always probably the funnest for me, or the weird controllers. We've had the 64 Millennium controller. The only way to get it was you had to go to the Nintendo store on New Year's Day, I think. Well, I think it was New Year's Day. Don't remember. And they did them for the Millennium, right? It had the year 2000. It was a silver 64 controller. And I think those things go for like $5,000 now. Wow. I sold mine for far less than that, sadly. But it was really cool. Yeah. I had one at one point, and then it said COVID. Everything went.
Like, no! It was funny. I actually kind of just got into Pokemon cards. Vintage, though. You know, I'm 90s, so I'm like, base set, base two, right? I'm like,
sure.
One, what is it? 150, 160, whatever started with the Kanto region. And I actually picked up a this Blastoise here, but it's damaged.
Okay, base set two. So, that's all right. Let's get in a binder.
Yeah, exactly. So it was funny and that you mentioned that because now I don't know. Do you guys get like Charizard? I mean, I obviously get Charizards in, but what are the values looking like on the Pokemon cards now? I know they've come down a lot, right, since COVID.
Yeah, I mean, some of them have, but some of them haven't. So it's hard because it's like it's kind of like a bell curve, right? So like all the top end stuff came down, all the bottom end stuff kind of came down, but the stuff in the middle kind of stayed very close. Like if you're talking like a base set Charizard, not Shadowless, not first edition, but just like a base set Charizard in near mint condition, I mean, it's probably like $300 to $400 just for that one. But if you get a Shadowless one near mint condition, you start getting up to like $2,000, you know? And then if you get a Shadowless first edition near mint, that's the Jake Paul stuff. That's, you know what I mean? That's the $1 million car. You know what I mean? The $100,000, $200,000 cards, which, yeah, exactly. So I have a first edition Shadowless Charizard, the same one that old boy wore. But mine isn't in good of condition. Mine's not great. That's one of the ones that's displayed in the vault.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'll have to check it out because I'm assuming each location carries different inventory based on just trade-ins and what they sell and stuff, right?
Exactly. And so that's the other thought of like having stores that are interesting and fun to visit is that like
each one's different.
Yeah, people make a whole day out of it. Like they'll make a day trip and just hit some people hit every game store in Colorado. Some people just hit hours, like and it's interesting. Some people just have like a route between two, and so it's cool to watch, but like people just check out all the stores and kind of have different vibes at each one and people and stuff.
So is it hard to know, like keep updating, or I guess keep up with the changing values of, you know, vintage or new stuff that gets resold?
Not really. Luckily, the internet has, I mean, we don't have to deal with the good old days of Beckett anymore. We don't have the price guides, those old books. I mean, luckily there's just, there's a lot of websites. So for video games, we use a website called pricecharting.com, which is like a Metacritic style aggregate price recording and
like history and averaging and stuff.
Exactly. So it does all the work and it'll tell you, okay, so you'll type in the game, you'll be like, all right, I don't know, Earthbound, and it'll say, okay, a loose Earthbound is averaging, the market price right now is about, you know, probably like $200-$300, I would say. And then like it'll say complete inbox, so CIB, so if it has the manual, all the stuff. And then it'll give you an average price on that. But what's cool is you can actually like click into it, dig into the listings, follow them to the eBay links, actually look at what it looked like. And you know what I mean? It's not perfect and they keep as much information as they can. But as long as eBay still has the listings up, you can really, really get like an idea of like what you're comparing things to. Because it's gotten crazy how much the manual of a video game costs. You know what I mean? Like if you have Chrono Trigger and you have the box and you have one of the posters and the manual, but you're missing one poster. I mean, that's like $50 to $100 to get that poster. It's like, it's goofy, but I mean, it's just like, if you think about it, it's just like comic books, right? Like the cartridge is almost the easiest part to preserve of the video game. So it's like the paper products are the crazy ones. So
how do you, I don't know if this is the right question, but you can differentiate, I'm assuming, fakes or replicas.
Yeah. Like,
do you see that in the market a lot or not as much as maybe people hear?
It was a thing that was happening for a little bit, for sure. Mm-hmm. It was, I think that was like kind of a thing that I started seeing in like 2018, which feels weird, like referencing something so long ago. But it was definitely, there was a time when like the Wish.com, AliExpress, That whole market kind of emerged and people were like, oh shit, I can get fake everything. Yeah. That's when we started seeing stuff like that, but it's kind of chilled out then since then. But yeah, I mean, we train all of our employees to be able to like tell the difference between like fake cartridges and real ones and boxes and stuff. There's some like telltale signs or like some giveaways if something's fake. So like a lot of the boxes for Super Nintendo and 64 and NES games, if you look at how Nintendo designed the box. On each of the creased on the inside of the edge, there's a bead of extra cardboard. So if you bend it backwards, it doesn't crack. So on the fakes, they won't have that. The cardboard will just meet like a regular piece of, like a regular box, like a modern box, rather than having that bead of cardboard. So that's like one thing that you can tell, but yeah.
That's a good, some good content you can create out of that.
You know, we've thought about it. But then we're like, well, we don't want to make the thieves, or, you know,
it made them more
heads better.
exactly. How they can get through the security.
He's like, okay, so that's what they're looking for. Yeah. All right. Like, yeah.
So coming up to the holidays, I'm assuming everyone's doing their Christmas shopping. Do you guys have any specials going on at Level 7? Anything that you want to let everyone know? Any promotions you guys have running?
Definitely. So this weekend, we are actually doing 10% off store-wide. Mm-hmm. So that'll just easy. That one's easy. So that'll be
running. And that's even on like everything, like trading cards, like used, vintage, everything?
Wow. New, used, oh, whatever, you name it. Like the car in the parking lot, shit, 10% off. yeah, so 10% off this upcoming weekend, which is, let's see if I can do this without ruining everything. Well, let me open this. I don't know the actual dates. I'm not that good at stuff. This weekend. Well,
let's see. Yeah, that's fine. Whatever. So this weekend, today's the 12th, I think. So the like 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, that weekend.
Yep.
Omina. hello, thanks for watching.
Yeah.
Oh, do you know her?
Nope.
Oh, I just wait. Maybe I don't have my glasses on, so
waving. I'm just like, what up?
I'm squinting.
I just see it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then next the weekend after, so the weekend right before Christmas, because Christmas is on a Monday. Mm-hmm. Or no, it's on a Monday. So yeah, Friday, Saturday, Sunday leading up, we'll be doing another sale. But you gotta follow us on the social medias, and because we're only advertising this weekend sale right now. We wouldn't want to spoil it.
There's good stuff coming up for the Christmas time. And that'd be a good time to buy like those Pokemon cards and stuff, because I mean, in my opinion, that'd be the best time to buy them, you know, because
get them on sale. I don't usually put Pokemon cards on sale. They're so hard to get. Like, literally, Pokemon cards are probably like the one, that and GameCube games are the two things that I'm like, it's hard for me to even like put a sale on them, because I'm like, so hard to get.
Like, yeah. And everyone like loves them anyway. So it's hard to, but like GameCube, later on, but one of my still, I guess, not Holy Grail, but one of the games I really want to get is Animal Crossing Original GameCube.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys have one yet, but I'm going to come check it out and see if you guys have one.
You're looking for like the limited edition cube itself, or just the game?
Just the game.
I don't know.
And then eventually I'll get the GameCube. I've been looking for CRTVs too, because I'm trying to get a whole retro setup.
Yeah. You know, if you have a Wii, the Wii is actually awesome for GameCube games too, because you can run component cables into your modern TV and it looks good, and it'll actually like,
oh, and they're backwards compatible.
Yep,
that's right. Oh, yeah. That's a good idea. Maybe I'll do that. Yeah, Mia loves Animal Crossing. That was at the end. I've said it before, but that's one of my favorite games. Nostalgic, and it's just calming, and it was just one of those games that it was like, you know, the games pop in a certain time of your life, and they just they connect to you, and they just they have that nostalgic feeling.
Absolutely. Yeah. I remember there was like this huge emulator phase at one point that I was going through, and I played Harvest Moon 64, or not Super Harvest Moon for the Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I don't know what it is about this, but I cannot stop forever. This is my, I love this.
Yeah. That's how I feel. Other things, anything else that you feel the listeners would like to, or I guess any other like value you want to add about running game stores, how it started, you know, like, because I don't think there's a lot of people out there talking about running a game store or building one or everything that goes into it, you know.
I mean, it's interesting. I would say, like,
at your level.
Well, I guess specifically at my level, it's a little different now. I feel like we've kind of, running a business is like a puzzle, right? So you kind of start it, and it's like you're just trying to figure out how to make it work the best. And you have this idea, and you have a goal, and you're trying to push towards that and make it work to where it's making money, you're making money, it's somehow growing progressively with the economy, so then you can hire people on and continually give them raises, right? So it's like, it really is, and it's silly that it comes up like this, it's Animal Crossing, though. It's Harvest Moon. It's like resource management. Like, it's like you have your operating funds, You have to acquire a certain amount of things, and then you have to move them. And it's like you're moving all the pieces around. And it's like, you know, it's not exactly that, but it really is. It's like it's the same skill set to like, and then you're playing Age of Empires and you start on Chieftain or whatever. And then you get all the way up to Warlord and you're like just playing StarCraft.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's how it feels. I feel like I'm playing Korean StarCraft right now. Yeah.
That's funny. That's a good way to look at it, actually. I never thought about that. Real-time strategy running a business.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's just you got to be available. You're taking calls. You're replacing people when they call in sick. It's just a lot going on. It's fun, especially for the ADD brain.
Yeah. So when you said you have about 25 employees right now?
Yeah, we're at 25.
So in the future, when you look for people to, whether it's employees or people you get involved with, you know, what are some of the things you kind of that stick out to you or that you look for? Not just employees, but, you know, anyone you kind of do some sort of business with.
No, for sure. I mean, I don't know how to phrase it better than just, I just want to work with regular people.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just somebody who seems to be able to like, reflect upon the way that they're speaking to other people, is polite and respectful. Like, it's really not that much. Like, I don't really expect a whole lot out of people. Like, I'm willing to work with most people on most things, as long as it's like mutually beneficial and worth my time, obviously. As long as people are just like, cool, have a sense of humor, you know, like kind of just as long as it, I don't know, vibes right, I think is what you said earlier, is like, if the vibe's right, that's really it. And so with most of my employees, most of them were customers that became employees. So the people that I kind of got to know, I got to know a little bit about them, but not like a lot about them, enough about their taste in video games, the type of person they are. I got to speak with them on that kind of customer and interaction level. Because it's like, you can tell how somebody's going to, well, not always, but you can usually assume how somebody's going to talk to somebody else by the way they talk to you, you know? And so I'm like, okay, so this dude approaches me. He doesn't know me. He doesn't know I'm the owner or whatever. You know what I mean? Because some people do. And so that changes things a little bit. But when I meet somebody for the first time and they're just regular, and we can just have a conversation and then I see him again and then they're like, oh, you're the owner. I'm like, yeah, it just, you know what I mean? It becomes this really cool like thing where they're like, they don't feel any pressure to be a certain way. And I don't feel any pressure to be a certain way about it. Because that's another thing that gets a little difficult where it's like, at some point it's hard because it's like, people do have different expectations of me in the workplace than sometimes I want to believe. Cause I just want to be the video game guy. Right. I just want to,
yeah.
And so it is a little bit more than that now. And so, that's sometimes a little difficult, but whatever.
Yeah.
Where people that's are good. Like, aren't you the owner? And I'm like, yeah.
Well, yeah, if I like video games.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't start a video game store because I wanted to work really hard. Like, dang it, just how it shook out.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Ohm Nation, for hopping on. He's awesome. He's been to our tournaments. You might have met him, played against him, but yeah, he's awesome. So I guess we can start wrapping up. But what I like to ask everyone at the kind of towards the end, what are your, you know, obviously we're all gamers. What were your three? If you could make top three. What were your top three favorite games of all time?
Of all time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I've had to do this recently, and the two and the three, they change sometimes.
Sure.
A little bit.
Depending on how you're feeling.
Exactly. Depending on what day of the week it is. But today I'm feeling a little spicy. But number one is always Dark Souls 1. That's the game that made me like video games again. Like, working at a video game store, you get burnt out, you stare at the wall, and after a while you're just like, I don't want to play any of this. Dark Souls 1 was the game that like was like, okay, video games are dope. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You're stupid. And kind of reignited. It literally reignited the flame.
Oh, that's awesome.
So then I'd probably have to go with something like Lumines. I don't think you could see it, but I got my Lumines, which is it's a puzzle game that's by the same dude who did Rez, so it's like a rhythm puzzle game. It's either or something like Tetris. And then I'd say number three has got to be Shadows of the Damned on it's PS3 and 360. They are actually remastering it, which I'm
really
like, Yes. But it's Suda 51, which if you haven't played any of his games, he did like a Lollipop Chainsaw, a bunch of other weird Never Say Die, and he did the Killer 7 games, Killer 7, Travis, football, Travis Touchdown. There you go. Anyhow, No More Heroes. No More Heroes is the name of the series. Yeah, yeah. So it's him. It was the Shinji Mikami, who's the dude who did Resident Evil 4.
Oh, cool.
And they made a game together. So
that's awesome.
Yes. So, yeah, those are three. Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for sharing. John, thank you for hopping on. I'm sure we'll have you on in the future again. I just want to thank you and all the listeners for stopping by. You guys made it a great show. You can find John at Level 7 sometimes. Otherwise, you can follow them on all their socials, all their events, their tournaments, all their promotions and sales coming up. Follow them on all social medias. Anything else before we head out?
Really appreciate you. Appreciate everything you do for the gaming community in Colorado, dude. It's awesome to see somebody working towards something. So
Thank
you for having me on.
Appreciate that. Yes, sir. Thank you. Like I said, we'll have you on again in the future. But you can stay on once we go off though.
Okay.
All right. Thank you everyone for listening.
Thanks everybody. All right.